Today on Real Life Radio.
I hope it causes you to sit up and think for a moment. You say, Pastor, I'm not coming back next week. I anticipated that already. I understand that. These are the last days. You need to know the truth. I would rather have you go home today upset and angry and you have to study and look and you're all in a topsy-turvy conundrum with yourself to find the truth? Yes.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled, Who Then Can Be Saved? Here now in Philippians chapter 3, we find Paul writing these verses from prison. Now, Paul was really a remarkable man. His status, education, and power meant nothing to him when he considered Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul was a Hebrew among Hebrews concerning the law. He was a Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin, and his main focus was on persecuting the church by doing away with the followers of Christ. But his well-known conversion to Christianity transformed his very existence. His righteousness was no longer in the law, but in Jesus Christ. And now his salvation, well, it was not in works, but in what Jesus did for all of us at the cross. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our achievements cannot save us. That's the truth. For that matter, neither can our passion and devotion towards degrees, position, or our service in the church earn us any place in heaven. We are not saved by our good works. We're saved only by our faith in Jesus Christ. And now, in his message called, Who Then Can Be Saved? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Who then can be saved is found in verse 5. Well, no one who is trusting in status can be saved. No one who is trusting in status. Paul is saying, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. How is that? Number 3, argument is an inherited privilege. Number 3 is, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. This is a big deal. If you're Jewish today, you wish you were from the tribe of Benjamin. Why is that? There is no greater tribe among the 12 that supplied more to the history of the Jews than the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the only son of Jacob born in the promised land. That's kind of unique, isn't it? Benjamin was Jacob's favorite son. Benjamin was the tribe that gave Israel their first king. By the way, anybody remember what the name of the first king was? Saul. Could it be that Saul of Tarsus, Paul, was named after his tribal king? Possible, who knows? I'm just making that part up right now. Benjamin was the most loyal of all the tribes to King David. And Benjamin was the location of the temple itself in Jerusalem. Benjamin, big deal. Man, Paul throws that down to them. They would have envied that. Paul says, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. They would have been like, watch, they would have been like this. He's smacking them. He's letting them have it. You want to get to heaven by all these works? Well, then outwork this. And he lays it down. And they are just, you know what the gospel equivalent is? Do you remember when Jesus, when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and they drug her to Jesus' feet and they said, and you could just see their pride puffed faces when they said it. Moses said that if a woman's caught in the act of adultery like this, she's to be stoned. What do you say? And the Bible says, and this they did, trying to pit him, to find fault with him, to pit him against Moses. Remember what Jesus did? The Bible says he just stooped down and he began to write in the dirt. So I wonder what he was writing. Well, I don't know exactly what he was writing, but I know this. It says that as they looked at him, they became convicted of their sins. And the first one to leave was the oldest. And the last guy to leave out of the group was the youngest. Why did the Bible say that? Because it's clear, Jesus began to write down, let's say for a moment, the oldest guy. Why did the oldest guy leave first? When you're older, you lived longer and racked up more sins. And let's say the guy's name is Bob. Bob the Pharisee. Jesus just stoops down and he might have looked at, oh, there's Bob, he's the old guy. Bob, number one. Got, I saw you out behind 7-Eleven with bubbles. Number two, you stole money from the temple. Number three, you kicked your dog this morning. Number four, you know what I'm saying? He wrote and they were convicted. And then the last guy was the youngest guy, then he left. Because young people, they don't see their sin. Young people are, you know, it's just part of, it's one of the curses. We all used to be young. Some of you are cursed right now with your youth. But it's hard for you to, it's like, I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Young people are full of themselves. They haven't lived long enough to find out. They ain't as great as they think they are. Right now they think they're a legend in their own mind, and they got to grow up a little bit to find out. They ain't got all the answers. Remember when you were younger and I was younger? We thought we had all the answers of the world. I was way smarter when I was younger. It's amazing how impressed you can be with yourself. And Jesus begins to write. And that young man began to leave. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go live a new life." Only those who have experienced Jesus not trusting in title or status will see the kingdom of heaven. Self-righteousness will destroy us. Number four, who then can be saved? Found in verse 5, no one who is trusting in their ethnicity. Ethnicity. Paul says he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. It's an extremely powerful yet sad statement in this sense. He is saying, now watch, he's saying, I am saved or I am acceptable, quotes, to God because I am pure. I am not a Samaritan. I am not a Jew from Ethiopia. I'm not a Jew from Yemen. I'm not a Jew from Europe. I'm not a Jew from North Africa. Paul says, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I am as pure blood Hebrew as you can possibly be. Somebody might say, well, I'm accepted by God because of this. Paul is saying that I have come into the world a Hebrew. Now, let's be honest. What power and what influence could have Paul could have had about his birthing into the world? Can he boast that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews by decision or choice? No. But listen. And when I say ethnicity, the better word would be his pedigree. Meaning, I was born into this lineage. I was born into this family. A Hebrew of the Hebrews meant that my mom was a Jew, my dad was a Jew, and when you follow their genealogy and their heritage and their pedigree, I am pure Jew. I'm pure Hebrew. He's boasting in it. From a man who earlier says to us that there is no Jew or Gentile, woman or man, bond or free, that is not anything but one in Christ. We're one. This is a huge statement. He is laying it down before these legalists and he's saying, match this. I'm pure Jew. I'm a Hebrew national. They couldn't match that as he begins to whittle them down. My pedigree, I was born into this. Be careful. I'm going to step on toes today. I don't mean to hurt you, but I'll tell you the truth. This portion of Scripture flies in the face of some of the junk I've heard for years that I'm saved, my kids are automatically saved. That's heresy. That's exactly what Paul right here is condemning. There is no pedigree when it comes to salvation. You think for a moment. Does that upset you? Think about this. If it's true what you hold to, what you believe, that pedigree matters, then what in the world was Jesus doing on the cross? Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, not born from a certain group of people or a certain theological bent. Mom, dad, you might be going to heaven, but your kids aren't unless they're born again. And teaching other than that is heresy. Well, I come from a long line of the... Read your Bible. The man who had, one and only man who had the right to say pedigree matters, I'm in because I'm a Hebrew, is admitting to us that is something that I counted a loss for the excellency of Christ. Strong words, hard words. We need to stop being religious and make sure that we've experienced Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm a card-carrying member of the First Baptist Church. Well, good for you. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Well, I've gone to Calvary Chapel all my life. Me too. And it doesn't mean we're going to heaven. You've got to be born again. In Acts chapter 26, verse 4, Paul the Apostle speaks of him, and he's making a defense before himself in Caesarea. He says, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. Verse 5, according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. You can't match that. And Paul went on to say that he was lost. Are you better than Paul? Is your pedigree greater than Paul's? No. The truth of the matter is only those who have experienced Jesus Christ will go to heaven and not those trusting in a rank or pedigree. And this is a tremendous thing, you guys, because we want to be careful when we say pedigree also that, I know this is not any of us, this is some other people, but you know, when we get this thing, and I'm not knocking that you should be proud of your family, that you should be proud of your family. I get that part. But listen, when somebody says, you get up over here, you're a Smith or a Johnson or a Billy Bob, and you know, no Billy Bob takes that from anybody. You're a Billy Bob. You understand that? You stand, you go back there because you're a Billy Bob. We don't lose. Everything we do, we win. Now look, there's a time for encouragement. There's a way to be proud of your family in a good way, but when you breed it into a kid that this, you are better than everybody else. No, you want to, listen, you want to give glory to Christ. Be careful. Number 5, who then can be saved? No one who is trusting in achievement. This is huge. We don't need to belabor this because you know enough about it. Paul says, concerning the law, a Pharisee. We would say today, concerning the military, Delta Force, Navy SEAL, Marine Recon. You can't match that. Concerning this religious stuff, Pharisee. What does that mean? I've earned my degrees. I've got my position. I have my privileges. I'm a Pharisee. When I pull up in my black donkey with the tinted windows and the antenna on top, people roll out the red carpet. I'm a Pharisee. Power, wealth, influence. Listen, the interpretation of the word of God to give to the people. I tell people what the Bible says was a Pharisee. In Paul's day, the word Pharisee had a very, very good... I want to be a Pharisee. Not today. Today, when we see somebody as a hypocrite, we call them a Pharisee. In Paul's day, it was a badge. It was a stripe. Wow. Listen, very few of his opponents were Pharisees, if any of them. Galatians 2:16. We're almost done. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus, or Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul is saying this. Concerning the law, I'm a Pharisee. What does that mean? That means Paul did everything externally what he was supposed to. If you watched Paul externally, it was all good. But listen, he wasn't going to heaven. Paul the Apostle was not going to heaven as he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee, and his righteous works put us to shame, but he was not going to heaven. Does that alarm you? I hope it causes you to sit up and think for a moment. You say, Pastor, I'm not coming back next week. I anticipated that already. I understand that. These are the last days. You need to know the truth. I would rather have you go home today upset and angry and you have to study and look and you're all in a topsy-turvy conundrum with yourself to find the truth? Yes. A.W. Tozer says we need to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So maybe that's what's going on here today. Don't trust in achievement. I've got this, so I don't need God. No, only those who've experienced Jesus and not trusting in their achievements will go to heaven. Number six, no one who is trusting in devotion. How devoted are you? How devoted am I? Well, Paul says, I have more confidence in the flesh because concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Time doesn't allow me. I'll give you scripture references, but I'm not going to read them because of time's sake. Read Acts chapter 7. Read Acts chapter 8. It was a badge of honor for Paul to go around as Saul of Tarsus, I should say, chase down Christians, arrest them, stone them, imprison them, and kill them. Did you know that? That's what he did. And he was commended by the Pharisaic Jews of Jerusalem to do that. Saul was like ISIS today. Saul had people as Christians arrested and stoned to death and beaten to death, imprisoned. Stephen was one of them in your Bible. How big is the salvation of our God? Devotion? Oh, he was devoted. And then we end with this. We do end right now. Number 7 is found in verses 6 and 7. Who then can be saved? No one who is trusting in externals. Externals. Concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. You can't, Paul said, he's saying you can't get anything on me. I don't have a speeding ticket. I have no record. On top of that, forget the negative. Every mark in my book is positive. Paul is saying, I never missed a feast. I never missed tithing. I never missed worship. Think about it. Are you going to go to heaven? On what basis are you going to go to heaven? Paul is laying it down. Jesus is going to say something to us in a moment here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do the things or the signs, miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of the Jews of Israel, and you do not know these things? Keep your eyes closed if you need to. Friends, listen. Who then can be saved? If this morning before your face I present to you a cup of cold water, for example, and I tell you this morning that in your thirst, here's a cup of cold water, but I must be honest, inside are 10 droplets of liquid cyanide. One drop will kill you. I know you're thirsty, but the water's clear, and there's only 10 drops. Will you drink that cup? What if I told you then, don't worry, there's only 8 drops in that cup, knowing one will kill you. Will you drink it? What if you resigned the fact that you're thirsty before you use a cup of ice-cold water, but there's one drop of liquid cyanide in that which will kill you in a matter of moments? Would you drink it? If you had 10 links to a chain that was tying your boat, to the shore, keeping it from going over the waterfall. How many of those links have to break before your boat goes over the cliff? And how many droplets have to be in that water before it'll kill you? The answer is only one. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him as a man who built his house on a rock." Dear friends, listen this morning. You may be super moral here today. You may not see the urgency of having Jesus Christ, because you know what? You think you've only had 9 links to your chain. Only one's been broken. Well, your boat is adrift. You may be thinking today that you're pretty good. You don't match up to Paul, but you're hoping God grades on a curve. And you only have 3 droplets of sin in your cup. Listen, for all of us, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in such a serious time as this, I will not belabor this. I'm going to ask you this. If you today are accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior to forgive you of your self-reliance, your self-dependence, you see today that your morality without Jesus is lost. Put your hand up wherever you're at today, and I'll see your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, "Pastor Jack, I need Jesus. I am exchanging this morning." God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. I'm exchanging my morality, my religiosity. I'm exchanging my performance with a personal faith in Jesus Christ. God bless you, and you in the back, in the very back. You see, there's hands up. God bless you. Pray this prayer right where you're at, right now, from your heart. Dear God in heaven, I ask you now to wash me clean of my pride, really, my self-reliance, my goodness, and fill me with the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. Lord, now I choose to no longer lean upon anything of my own. I see myself with Paul, lost without Christ, and I bow my heart and knee to him. In Jesus' name I pray, O God. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, "Who Then Can Be Saved?" So glad you took the time to be with us today. Who Then Can Be Saved is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. Our hope is that you respond to this message by receiving Christ as your personal Savior, so that you too will have eternal life in heaven. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. If there was a book that, you know, throws a bucket of water in the face of a sleeping church, Pastor Jack's latest book of the month is that very wake-up call. It's called Letter to the American Church by best-selling author Eric Metaxas. This bold and insightful book may just send chills up your spine as Metaxas reveals the frightening similarities between the German church of the 1930s and the American churches today. Silent in the face of evil during the rise of Nazi Germany, can we avoid the same fatal mistakes of the past? The German church had no idea that they were facing nothing less than the forces of the Antichrist. Today, those same forces are attacking our nation, even at a global scale.
Eric leans on where the church needs to go for the future, and so it's a tremendously powerful book and very, very timely right now, more than ever.
Find out more when you pick up your copy today. Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.